93.5, 95.3 Kinect FM.
Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, we are blessed and graced with the presence of Brother Johnny. He is America's Thomas Edison of oil and gas. He's been up a lot during the night as they've been working in the Gulf of Mexico with very intricate and difficult lifts. He is a lift specialist to the world. He is awake, Johnny.
Hey, Stevie J.
How are you doing?
Tired.
Unbelievable. Mike Ditkin, Chicago. Johnny's in Houston. Mike, these guys are lifting in the Gulf of Mexico. They're trying to figure out how to lift stuff they can't see.
Well, we've had that claw. Mike, you know that monster 12-story grapple we've been carting around, clawing away, clawing our little hearts out. And sometimes you can claw something up, and sometimes you can't. So it's new. We're figuring it out. It's interesting.
That's pretty interesting. I don't know too much about that. I mean, I have a hard time clawing my hair, so I don't know.
All right, the U.S. Open. You've got Tiger at minus one in second. A guy named Michael Thompson at minus four. Looked like Mike Ditka putting with only 22 putts yesterday.
You can forget that, Oda. That was a mirage. You know, that's not going to happen. I mean, when you see what that course did to those guys. Mm. And listen, it was every bit of it. I mean, it made the number one player look in the world look like he couldn't putt at all. I mean, let's face it. Luke Donald did not play good. I mean, Bubba, you can't take that freewheeling game to a U.S. Open course because it's going to bite you. Mickelson, the same thing. I mean, he got a terrible break on the first hole. He was lucky to get out of there with a bogey, but I mean, that course is it's going to get tougher as it hardens up. Actually,
well,
so
they just
say tough.
Rolling all over the place. Johnny, you had Luke Donald at 79. You had Bubba at 78. Phil at 76. You had scores all over the board. So 69, which is a par 70, 69 for Tiger looks really good, Mike. I think people are thinking, if he keeps the driver in the fairway, he's going to win.
But he played good. I watched almost the whole thing, and he thought his way around the golf course. And he hit good shots,
yeah.
By the way. He hit very good shots, and he put it out there in the fairway when he had to early. And actually, like I said, if you miss some of those greens by just a hair, you end up 25, 30 feet away, and you might be in waste. So, I mean, it's pretty tough. I mean, I have to say that there's going to be a lot of people griping about the toughness of that golf course when it's over.
Well, I'll tell you what, there were a few shots that looked like something I could do out of some of the bad spots. Steve, it's tough if you that's a high penalty course, tight too.
And Bubba Watson tweeted last night saying, I was thinking of withdrawing so I could watch Phil and Tiger, but then I realized I have the best seat in the house playing with him again today.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you love watching it, and it's amazing what the ratings will be Sunday if Tiger's in this thing.
Well, I hope he is, because I think, as I said weeks ago, that he's good for golf. Now, whether you like him or you don't like him, and there's a lot of people who don't like him, and probably I don't think it's justified, but still, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I'll say one thing. He's good for golf, and he's good for ratings.
Well, maybe today will be the day for him, and I think he'll hang in. Usually when he starts out, he stays in. So it's fun to watch it. I haven't had a whole lot of time to look at that, but I saw a few good swings.
Well, what also you missed was the Heat beating the Thunder last night, and they did it dramatically and in style, didn't they, Mike? The Heat looked good last night in the NBA Finals.
They did, yeah, and it's going to be a very close series. I mean, it's I think everybody's pulling for the well, not everybody, but a lot of people are pulling for the Thunder. But still, the Heat's good. They're a good team, and they do right things. And listen, the kid is LeBron is a great player. I mean, and they got a good surrounding cast. So when they do enough right things, they're going to be tough for anybody. But I don't think the Thunder's out of it. They're a pretty good team.
Well, have you ever seen? I mean, we talk about our sports heroes all the time, but have you ever seen a better offensive basketball player than Kevin Durant? I mean, what can't he do, that guy? I mean, I've never seen anybody any better from every part of the game on offense. I'll say offense, since there have been so many great basketball players. But this guy, Durant, Mike, I don't know. He can, if he's anywhere around the free throw line and gets a step, he's going to jam it. And
he's a pretty interesting guy. I mean, I look at him, and you look at him off the court too, John. I mean, listen to him talk, and this kid, he gets it. He gets it. He got it together, and he gets it. You know, he understands, and you know, it's a breath of fresh air. I think it's a great example of what an NBA player should be. I mean, really, I'm sorry. I mean, some of those guys I don't think are great examples of what an NBA player should. You know, they don't remind me of a lot of the old guys. I'm sorry. So, you know, they don't remind me of Magic. They don't remind me of Bird, you know, so.
Well, when you have it together like that, it does carry over.
Yeah, yeah.
He obviously works hard at every aspect of that game, and he's as versatile as Jordan. Isn't he 7 feet tall?
No,
I don't know.
6'8", 6'10", something like that. Is he? He's pretty long. There's no question about it. Mike, what's it like when you have a team like the Heat in professional sports, where really? If you don't win the title, you've failed. The expectations are so high that, yeah, LeBron does all this. LeBron, well, he should do that. The expectation is a different approach, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think you're right. You know, the expectations are so high. But, you know, I don't think that other teams really fear them. I mean, they know that they're mortal and they're basketball players, and you got to do certain things to stop them or beat them. But yet, you know, they've kind of made this magic with the Big Three and all this stuff. And, you know, we watched the Big Three play golf yesterday. They were terrible. And the top three, actually. And then you see the Big Three in basketball. They are pretty good. But I'm saying, you know, when you look at other teams, I don't think that they put the fear in you. They're just good players. I mean, they can do things better. They can rebound. They can shoot. They can play defense. They can do the things they have to do to play the game. So, you know, you look at this kid. You know, this kid, what is he? What is he? 26 years old now, or what? 22 years old.
Durant.
Durant's. I know Durant's young, but oh, the guy with Miami. No, the other one.
Bosh and Wade. Wade, yeah.
No, there's another one.
There's another one.
The top guy.
You mean LeBron James.
How old is he?
Yeah, he's 25, 26. I mean, that's...
Yeah. If anyone was that old, I mean, he came out of basketball.
Right.
He came into pro ball when he was 12 years old.
Yeah, that's right. No, he was. He was right out of high school. So,
well, LeBron James, look, I'll tell you, too, I still don't think Dwayne Wade and LeBron James have figured out how to mesh every game together. I think sometimes one of them will be doing great and the other one backs off. And
yeah.
I think that can hurt them. That might be a weakness, but when they're playing as a five-man team, they're as good as the Thunder or anybody else. But
yeah.
I think it might be a seven-game series, Stevie.
Well, in the NBA Finals, they go 2-3-2, so I guess conceivably Miami could sweep the next three. Probably wouldn't, I don't think. Would they, Mike?
Well, you would hope they wouldn't, because it would be good for basketball. But, hey, listen, anything can happen. It's basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the NBA. Let's face it.
All right. It's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, 742, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Let's go to the campaign trail. President Obama yesterday.
The other side will spend over $1 billion on ads that tell you the economy is bad, that it's all my fault, that I can't fix it because I think government is always the answer, or because I didn't make a lot of money in the private sector and don't understand it, or because I'm in over my head, or because I think everything and everybody is doing just fine. That's what the scary voice in the ads will say. They won't work with us on any plan that would increase taxes on our wealthiest Americans. It's the reason a jobs bill that would put 1 million people back to work has been voted down time and time again. It's the biggest source of gridlock in Washington today.
All right, so it's not his fault. It's what they'll say about him. It's not going to be true. Johnny?
Well, there's the same old thing about taxes on the wealthiest Americans, which won't raise enough money to bail out AIG again. So I don't know why he keeps harping on it. And he's right. That's exactly what you're going to hear. And I think most of that's basically true. So he's got the MO, because I think that's his record. I don't know.
I had an old saying when I was coaching: there's no whining in football. This guy's whining a lot right now. And I think it, you know, and I understand why. I mean, I just saw the poll that came out, and you still have 68% of the people that blame Bush for the economy instead of him. And let's get it, you know, listen, when you sign on and you take on the responsibility of being the president of the United States, it's my job. I want the job. I campaigned for it. I want it. It's my job. Now, you can't go back and say, well, we can't get this done because of this and this. You have to find a way to get it. That's what leaders do. Leaders find ways to get the job done. They find ways to empower the people. They find ways to get the people together and make them understand what, for the common good of the American people, we have to do this, this, and this. This guy doesn't have that ability. He's not a leader. Now, is he running into resistance from the Republicans in certain areas? Yes, he is. Is it justified? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. That I don't know. But I think if you're a leader, you take the bull by the horns, you sit people down at the table, and you stay at that table until you get the job done. And I don't think he's a leader, and I don't think he can get that done. That's period. Now, I'm not saying the guy before him could have either. I'm just saying that I look at somebody I think is a leader, hey, let's get this thing together. Let's understand what's good for America. And forget this party crap for a while. I mean, you got to be that clear. Now, I don't see that, so I don't know. I'm not sure I would have seen him with anybody else.
Well, and I think the other part of that is that the president, whoever it is, can really only do so much. What Obama's doing with some of his ideas, I don't believe is the right thing to do, but it starts there, but it goes all the way through, Steve, and the leaders on both sides have harped on their kind of philosophy, and they haven't gotten together and said, look, here's what we're going to do to cut spending, because that's what 90% of the people understand, may not want, 90, not 50, that probably has to be done. And here's how you do it where everybody has a little bit of it, everybody. So we haven't seen any kind of leadership like, yeah, we've seen a little of it, but not enough.
I mean, I don't hear a thing. You know, I mean, the thing they keep harping back to is taxing the rich. Fine, if that's your answer, but why not go to a flat tax, period? Everybody pays the same. No, but I understand when you say everybody pays the same, it never will be everybody pays the same because people are always paying a lot more that make more. I understand that. But percentage-wise, don't you think that would make a little more sense?
Well,
I'm not sure that what we're doing, we're saying, okay, we're creating class warfare to a degree. Well, the haves and the have-nots. Well, the have-nots, we're going to take care of them, but the haves, you got to take care of the have-not. Well, the country wasn't set up that way. You might do it, but it wasn't set up that way.
Well, the other thing, Stevie, you've got flat tax, or you've got our system, or you've got taxes on the rich, or you got 46% of the people aren't even paying tax. The issue isn't how much we're paying, it's how much we're spending, because none of those things, Mike, scratches the surface.
Absolutely. You can't take in enough, John. I agree with you.
And they haven't shown one iota of discipline or a propensity to show, Steve, that they can even start cutting enough spending to get us where we probably need to be.
Well, the first thing at the table when the Republicans sat down, they say, listen, raise the taxes on the rich, fine. Cut the spending first, though. That'll never happen. You know,
and they
that.
Don't. Then that's the gridlock right
yeah.
there. They have said, "Well, we might be in for a tax increase, but first we got to do this." No way. You're
yeah.
taking food out of the
right.
mouths of children,
right?
And that's not happening. And nothing happens. So we're going to hear it. And we're going to see. But no, I think that's interesting because Obama had quite a list of the type of message that the Republicans are going to send.
The question is, will it resonate? Will people hear it and say, I agree with that, or will they say they're just picking on the guy when it was George Bush's fault anyway?
I think they'll hear it. I think we saw in Wisconsin both messages were pretty well vetted, and
you know,
that was a
there's
surprise,
an old saying, too, those that have ears, let them hear. Those that don't, well, those that want to hear will hear.
Yeah.
But there's a majority of people in this country right now who don't care. They're blind to the facts. They're blind to the word. They're blind to everything except that they believe that this guy is doing a good job. There was no different than when Jimmy Carter was president. There was a segment of our side thought this guy was the greatest. And Jimmy Carter was a good guy. Don't get me wrong. Did a lousy job as president. That's all. Unfortunately, sometimes the job is bigger than the person. And in this case, I believe the job is way bigger than the person. You talk about private sector, about leading business. This guy never had a leadership job in his life. He never led anything. He never was president of anything. I mean, so when you really look at it, what are his qualifications? Because he became a senator, and then all of a sudden, 4 years later, he was the choice of the people and became president? Stop it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If you're talking about qualifications and they're talking about Romney's qualifications, are certainly much better than what his were.
Well, that's right, Steve. Stop it. Well, that's exactly right.
It's a stop it moment. Well, if you go back and you look at Reagan taking over for Carter, couldn't Reagan have complained for 8 years about taking over at 21% inflation? I mean, it was a mess when he took it, but Reagan just turned that thing around, and I think he halved the inflation in 4 years. I mean, they made progress. He worked with Tip O'Neill. That was a leader that had done Stringing Actors Guild. He'd been a governor of California. He had some leadership experience there.
Well, he was a good leader. I thought he did. One thing I remember about Ronald Reagan
is... And I'll guarantee you, the guy that takes over for this guy is going to probably get it right, too. Because he's going to have to get it right.
Yeah.
Because this country's going to be so damn far in debt, their eyeballs are going to be swimming.
Well, I remember Reagan, Steve, the federal traffic control folks went on strike. And part of their deal was they can't go on strike. The guys that keep track of your airplane when you're coming into Air Force, and he said you can't strike. And we're going to strike. We got to strike. We have the right to strike. And he fired everybody. And he said they can't do that. That's part of their deal.
Yeah.
And that was tough because he got some heat. But he just moved on. And I thought that turned out to be an interesting moment for Reagan. And he did a lot of things like that, and he just stood up to what he thought was the right thing. And that's really what I think American people respect. And so, you know, and sometimes you do that and you're wrong, and you have to live with the consequences.
Well, what is it?
You can stand up and say, I was wrong. And that's where a real leader is separated from the rest.
They just hired... But 500 or 1,000 new workers to so they can finish. They make one of the fighter planes for us. But I just saw this that they're bringing in people who are non-union to finish a project. I don't know if it's right, wrong, or otherwise. I'm just saying. But sometimes you got to say stop it. You know, again, stop it. Guys, you got a job, do it. If you don't have the job, don't do it.
All right, let's jump to Eric Holder in our final few minutes. Sean Hannity last night.
I don't know what's worse, the 18 months that they obstructed the investigation by Congress, and we have, you know, co-equal branches of government, and oversight is a big part of this, or the fact that they're trying to make a last-minute deal. Okay, we'll give it to you now because you're going to hold me in contempt. What's worse?
Yeah, well, I think that the reality is this is a constitutional crisis, as the Attorney General himself said, of his own making. And the real tragedy in all of this is the American people suffered, and as Liz said, we have a dead Border Patrol agent with no answers to what happened, killed at the hands of her own weapons. And I think the reality is this is a last-minute ploy on the part of the Department of Justice, Eric Holder in particular, to try to circumvent, which was going to be a very bad week next week. Senator Grassley saying he wants to see all the documents. At the end of the day, Sean, they've created this mess. They're going to have a tough time getting out of it.
Well, it is a mess, Mike. It is a mess. Eric Holder has a mess.
Well, you know, I think, again, when you got to look at what are the qualifications of the individual who is the Attorney General. I mean, are there qualifications? If we're talking about what is his background, what are his qualifications, I think you got to look at it. This guy's in he's deep in it right now, and he's deep in it because he hasn't come forward in the beginning and told the truth.
Well, he has an agenda that isn't the number one law enforcement officer, in my opinion. I think he's the worst attorney general that we've ever had. And that's my number one reason to not vote for Barack Obama. This guy's it's an important position. It's a position that you do have to be very unbiased. You're the law enforcement officer for the entire country. And he does seem to have a very slanted political agenda, and that's what drives him. And he didn't want to do anything Congress told him to do. He's just not going to do it. And that's kind of the attitude that we've seen, I think, from this administration, is they're going to do what they want to do, and they don't care about, forget about traditions, one thing, but even law. And that's a little disturbing to me.
All right, finally, there is a survey out that says that more teenagers have smoked marijuana than cigarettes. More teenagers say they've sampled marijuana than sampled cigarettes. What does this tell us, Johnny?
Well, cigarette smoking is harmful to your health. Maybe they're cutting back. I don't know what it says. I don't know what that says.
Have we glamorized marijuana, Mike? And we've certainly demonized smoking. These smokers got to go huddle outside in Chicago in the winter, those evil smokers. And yet it seems like we've glamorized. The media certainly says, oh, pot smoking, man, that's okay. But cigarette smoking, you stinky person.
Well, I think why the cigarette thing is because of the cancer thing, guys. It's a direct correlation to cancer. We know the cigarette smoking is harmful to your health. And all I can say is those who smoke marijuana, it's not harmful to your health because you don't give a damn if you're smoking. You don't care if you're healthy or not. So you're on another planet. But I don't have the answer to it, guys. But, I mean, you know what it is. You're talking about people who they want to write their own laws. These are the same people who are against this and against that that are for legalization of marijuana. Come on, and you know they're for gay marriage and everything. This is the same group. Come on, America. This is not the majority of American people. I can't believe that more teenagers have smoked pot than they have cigarettes.
Well, you have two sides. There's an argument over marijuana. It's nothing wrong with it. It's no worse than alcohol. Right, it's right. good for it's a medicine. It treats you when you have certain ills. But nobody's coming out for cigarettes. Yep. The poor smokers really get hammered.
Yep, they do. All right, gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Johnny, hope you get some rest this weekend. Hope you enjoy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to both great guys. You're both great dads.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you, Stevie.
Yep.
Happy Father's Day, Mike. That's
God
a good
bless
point.
You guys. Take
Father's
care. Day.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
We'll talk to you Monday. Thanks so much, brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. Brought to you by Menechi's Restaurant, VersaBar, and by FlightStar. On 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Always a pleasure to have Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny on. They'll return again on Monday morning. We'll talk about the U.S. Open and everything else that happened over the weekend.